Gresh and Foyer coming up at 10 from Patriots training camp at Gillette. Sox Yankees tonight, 7:10 first pitch here on this radio station and on the Odyssey app and on the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network all over New England. And Curtis is requesting a douche move ruling this morning, and we'll do that in about a half an hour at 8:30, but right now back to Courtney and the rest of today's news.
Buckle up for this next story. We've got influencers in the news.
It's influencers in the news on the Greg Hill Show.
A former U.S. airman turned social media influencer, Joseph Lopez.
Lopez, yeah.
And his brother, Joshua, have been trapped in Dubai for nearly 2 months and are possibly facing several years in prison. They went to Dubai to shoot content.
Okay.
I know, like that sounds silly.
Like a free trip or something.
Yes,
like
but they went because they wanted to shoot YouTube videos.
Okay.
Right. This is how a lot of these people make money. A lot of hotels, airlines will fly them out to do so. So they were doing that.
I would love to go to Dubai. Seems like a place I would love to go to.
I thought as well.
Until
this story.
Okay, so maybe I won't want to after I hear this story?
Yes.
Okay.
A week into the trip, the two were enjoying a night out in Dubai when they were leaving a nightclub called Blah Blah and were approached by an Uber driver who offered to take them to an after party at a nearby hotel.
Who says no to an after party?
Well, these two did it. Yeah. They got in.
God bless. Yep. Just random Uber.
Random Uber.
That's the first mistake.
Yes. Mistake number one.
Okay.
They were taken to the hotel. Yep. They were brought to the VIP section of a party where platters of food and drink were given to them without their request.
In this economy?
Yep, in this economy.
In this economy.
About 20 minutes later, the party ended abruptly, and the brothers were slapped with a massive bill.
How much was it?
Over 20K.
Holy smokes.
They didn't want to ruffle any feathers in a foreign country, so they paid the bill.
Wait a minute. They have 20K that they can just throw out there. They're
well,
doing well, obviously,
20,
with the influencing.
I don't know what the difference between U.S. doll hairs and what in Dubai they use.
Okay. All right.
After that, they were approached by a man who invited them to a yacht party.
I mean, at this point, you're probably saying it's time to go home.
They first said no, but
right.
The man was adamant that they should go. They said, you are our American guests. So they went.
Oh, man.
Once on the boat, the brothers were given drinks by the staff and later charged $2,700 for the refreshments.
Like, what are we doing?
They then said everything starts to blur. They believe they were drugged from those drinks. Then,
I don't want to laugh. I mean, it's an awful thing, but why are you going to repeated after parties with random people in a foreign country?
Okay. Correct.
Has there ever been an Uber that's come to you without you requesting it?
Nope.
Isn't that the start of the wrong decision?
Correct. Correct.
Anyway, carry on.
So while they were leaving the boat, you know, out of their mind drunk, they were approached by men in masks speaking in Arabic, trying to put them in an unmarked vehicle. They try to get away.
But they succumbed.
They try to get away with the brother of the influencer jumping into another car's front seat, telling him to get in the back and say, we got to get out of here. Turns out that was a police car that they had jumped into. And the men in masks were actually plain-clothed police officers. Mm. They are now being charged with assaulting an officer, resisting arrest, damaging a patrol vehicle, and alcohol consumption. Alcohol consumption in Dubai is a massive infraction.
Yeah, unless you do it at, like, the hotels.
Yes.
Like, there are certain hotels where, as a foreign visitor, you can do that, but you got to be super careful.
Correct.
There.
Like, no public intoxication. Yeah. It's one of their biggest laws.
So, basically, they're going to be locked up in some dark Bill Belichick-like dungeon in Dubai for the rest of their lives.
Correct.
What will the internet do? What will their followers do without them?
Can I just call BS? Because I cannot envision these guys who have to be relatively successful to get to Dubai and have this cash. Mm-hmm. I think they were having a great night, and they wanted the night to keep going, and are acting like victims that all of a sudden appeared at these places. Because you cannot be that stupid.
Right.
Wouldn't your night end the second you saw a $20,000 bill?
Curtis, yeah. They're influencers. They could be that stupid.
They could do a podcast under the influencers.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, the U.S. Department is trying to help out.
And U.S. State Department?
State Department, yeah, is trying to help out. But yeah, this a crazy story. And I guess it's a problem in Dubai where Uber drivers are trying to take tourists to these, you know, VIP parties to get them in trouble.
Another thing for you to be afraid of.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, thank you. I'm perfectly fine avoiding VIP parties in Dubai.
A woman in Louisiana was kicked out of Stab's Prime Steak and Seafood in Baton Rouge because of her outfit.
Oh.
Emine McClanahan, Mitch has a photo of what she was wearing.
What?
She was wearing
on Twitch right now on YouTube.
Yes.
That's what the woman was wearing?
Yes, a two-piece set if you're not watching right now. A tube top on the top. A little cropped but tasteful in a long skirt. In this economy?
Uh-huh.
She says that the staff at the steakhouse said it was inappropriate, and so she got kicked out. We can hear from Iman.
I just wanted to get it on camera why I came with what I have.
This is just too revealing at the top.
But you have waitresses in here with fishnet stockings and their butts halfway.
I'll see you by the
way. Okay, I'm telling you that we have buckled down on our dress code. It's been like this for a while now.
How long is a while? Because I was just in here 2 weeks ago.
Okay, well, I'm the same outfit. What happened 2 weeks ago when I was not here?
Mm-hmm. So a two-piece, two-top outfit is too much with florals from H&M. The $75 outfit.
Ma'am, it's not about how much it costs.
I'm not saying
it's about what's revealing, okay?
But my breasts are not out.
You have something to cover yourself, but you don't.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that outfit.
Not at all.
Especially if the servers are wearing fishnets. And also, if anybody's listening at Grill 23, that would be, I'd immediately change the outfits over there. Yeah. Fishnets would fly. On guys and girls.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter to me. But I feel like a steak served in a fishnet could be better.
Oh, I thought you were asking the people at Grill 23 to kick out DMs so you didn't have to pay for the tab.
This is a classic case of somebody who is large-chested.
Mm-hmm.
Being shamed.
Yeah.
If she was part of the itty bitty, you know what committee,
yeah,
then this outfit would be fine.
You think that's what it is?
Yes, 100%.
Doesn't seem fair to me.
It's not fair.
Doesn't seem right.
No.
Next story is for Shime. Rumors were swirling that Chick-fil-A might get rid of their waffle fries, but you can take a deep breath, Shime, because they're saying it's not happening.
Oh, thank God.
Okay.
The fast food restaurant is looking to make their waffle fries crispier.
Mm-hmm.
Here's someone on TikTok breaking down how the rumor originally started.
Chick-fil-A's getting rid of their waffle fries and fans are furious right now. Basically, there's a trend going around where people are like furious because Chick-fil-A is getting rid of their waffle fries apparently, as there's been rumors of Chick-fil-A testing traditional cut french fries. As this whole thing really started, when this Chick-fil-A worker, as you guys can see right there, comes out, shows, and says that there's no more waffle fries.
There's a big online demand that the McDonald's fries get bigger in the U.S. because apparently they're bigger in foreign McDonald's locations.
Don't you dare change anything.
Really?
Yeah,
they're perfect the way they are.
Those are your favorite, if I remember correctly, Shime.
They are, in fact. And Chick-fil-A waffle fries would be number two.
They would be?
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
But the waffle fry is one. Like, a McDonald's fry at almost any temperature other than cold are good.
Yeah.
If waffle fries are not fresh, they are almost inedible.
I feel the opposite. I feel like you could have waffle fries cold and they're still very good.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah. No.
I don't think any fry cold is good.
I wouldn't recommend any of them cold.
Yeah.
But like if you get a McDonald's fry at the bottom of the bag and it's good.
Yeah.
A waffle fry, if it hasn't been fresh, it is not near. Like waffle fry fresh is better than a regular fry.
Really?
I think.
Yeah.
But if they're not fresh out of the fryolator, then you're in trouble.
Yeah.
I just say to Chick-fil-A, don't try to make them crispier. They're perfect as they are. I don't want them changing any of the recipe. Now we've got a Karen in the news.
Okay.
Karen, I was dependent on that.
And now.
Karen!
The Karen Report.
Why did you do that?
Karen!
If you're watching on Twitch or YouTube, Mitch has the video to go along with this. But a woman in California was having a bad day. She decided to take it out on some beachgoers in Laguna Beach. All beaches in California are public property, but this woman was screaming at a family saying that the whole beach was hers because she lived on the beach.
Oh, I hate when people do this.
Yeah.
So she has a home on the water.
Yes.
And so she thinks she owns the beach in front of her house.
Correct.
And doesn't want anybody on it.
Correct. Yeah. To kick them out, she brought out some rope and started roping off the area in front of her house. We can hear the audio of this all going down.
It's not harassment on the beach, it's harassment in my whole property. Whoa. Get out of here, now!
Yeah, that's what happens when you're angry for no reason.
This is not an Instagram moment place. You're in my property, get moving now! Now you're in my property line, move it.
Ma'am, we're walking.
Pretty flow. Don't use the word crazy.
Could you imagine having a waterfront home in Laguna Beach and being that angry?
All right. It's probably like a $5 million home.
Easy.
Right? Minimum.
Easy. And I mean, it is so beautiful there.
Like the beach, sorry lady, the beach belongs to everybody. I hate people who do that.
Me too.
It's like there's only one way to get to the beach and these people think they own, you can't walk across their property to get to the beach. Like, get out of here.
Yeah. Lame.
The beach belongs to all of us.
Fun fact, Taylor Swift's house in Watch Hill has her own private beach.
Really?
Yeah.
She actually owns that property in front of her place in Rhode Island. All right, anything else?
That's it for the news.
All right, great job.
Thank you.
With the news, especially in this economy.
Yep.
coming up, Curtis is looking for a douche move ruling.
Thank you.
At 8:30.
And hopefully sports.
Yes, we will certainly get to that. And speaking of sports, here is Courtney with what is trending this hour.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Subaru of New England. Day two of Patriots training camp saw no Devon Godchow. He missed the beginning of practice and then did show up only to be on the sideline. Players are also starting training camp with a new players lounge. So very exciting for Pat's players. We can hear from rookie Jalen Polk on that.
You say video games, they just created a player lounge for us. So, you know, we have our free times in between meetings and stuff like that. And we got the pool table and stuff like that in the player lounge. So, you know, we do a lot of team bonding outside of the field, you know, that nobody sees. So, like I said, that's what's building this team, building this chemistry, and building this confidence within each other on both sides of the ball.
Are you as competitive with those as you are out here on the field?
Yeah, man, that competitiveness never stops. It's something that goes on 24/7.
Do you request anything from the player lounge?
Nah, you know, I just accept whatever they bring, you know. Whatever they bring for us and whatever they have, you know, I'm with it.
Greg, you brought up snacks, like maybe a snack bar in the players' lounge.
Yes.
What would be your number one snack that you would like to see if you were a player?
I think
peanut butter crackers.
I love that little sleeve. That would be your favorite.
Yeah, those are very good.
I think Greg would be a Pirates booty kind of guy.
The Red Sox back in action tonight, welcoming the Yankees to town. First pitch at 7:10 with Brian Baio getting the start. You can hang out with Rich Keefe at 6:10 for the MassMutual pregame show. Then Joe Castiglione and Sean McDonough have the call on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network right here on EEI and as always on the Odyssey app. The Olympics are here, 1:30 p.m. Eastern. We'll see the opening ceremony. Should be interesting for everyone. There is a French rail lines, which were targeted by multiple malicious acts, including arson, just hours before opening ceremony is set to start.
You're the Olympic expert. What is the sport that we are most likely to gold medal in?
Gymnastics.
Really? Okay.
Yes. Gymnastics.
We're the
we
favorites
look very
there.
Strong. Yes.
How about soccer? Like women's soccer?
Women's soccer got a new head coach, so they're hoping to be better than they were in the last Olympics.
Okay.
They were really, really good, and then the last Olympics, they had an early exit, so they have a new head coach, so they should be strong as well. Germany will be hard for them, though.
How about breakdancing? Are we going to do well in breakdancing?
Breakdancing, I think we may not even medal.
What do you mean? We invented it.
Did we?
I mean, tell me differently. Was breakdancing not invented on the streets of New York City here in the United States of America?
It's a good question.
I mean, of all the days for Wiggy to be off, he would know.
He would know.
Loves a good breakdance.
Yeah.
Okay.
And can I give some credit to the Echelon? sure. some diversity outside yesterday. I was walking through. They had salsa dancing.
I love it.
Yes.
Greg came running down with chips.
That's a big activity. They have a lot of activities going on in the summertime over at Echelon.
It was great. Live music and salsa dancing.
Yes. What were you doing over there?
I went to dinner last night in Seaport.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. Okay. Beautiful night last night.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Make this summer a Subaru summer in a brand new Subaru with symmetrical all-wheel drive. Find your authorized Subaru retailer at SubaruofNewEngland.com. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
68 degrees and sunny right now. Beautiful day ahead. 84 sunny is the afternoon high.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help.
You believe that this team is, just to be clear, in a position where you need to improve, do what you can to improve the team, correct?
Yeah, I think our play over the last 2 to 3 months, and and we can obviously point to a tough road trip coming out of the All-Star break, but I think Alex said it really well in saying that, you know, that didn't represent who we are as a team. I think you can get yourself in a tough place when you're living and dying day to day. I think instead, you know, we see the total body of work. We see the momentum that we had built heading into the All-Star break. We can look at the guys that we expect to get back here in the near future and say, you know, we should be looking at ways to improve the team. And so that's how we're going to spend the next few days here.
Independence seems to vanish in the haze. But every now and then I feel so insecure. I know that I just need you like I've never done before. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down. And I do appreciate you being round.
That is Red Sox Chief Baseball Officer Craig Breslow on this show yesterday, reminding you that he will spend the next couple of days, this very important weekend for Craig Breslow, looking at ways to improve this baseball team. So they return to Fenway, very important series with the Yankees after a bit of an All-Star break hangover and a 1-5 road trip, and so hopefully there is help out there in some way, shape, or form for this Boston Red Sox team.
And there is a very happy man that works for the Yankees when Alex Cora got his new contract, and that would be Aaron Boone. Because if the Sox swept this weekend and Cora was still a lame duck, my guess is there would be many people in the Yankees organization really salivating over the prospect of having Cora there. And it's interesting. I heard Francesa has a podcast now, and it popped up on my YouTube feed yesterday. And the natives are saying almost exactly what we're saying in New York about the Steinbrenner family as what we're saying about the Henrys. They only care about a full stadium.
Yeah.
They're not as invested in the day-to-day operation of the team. If George Steinbrenner was still alive, people would be fired after the Yankees go 0-4 against the Mets this year. They have had a really rough go of it. I don't think they've won a series at home in over a month. So it'll be interesting this weekend. Obviously a huge series. And Sam Kennedy, a quick note, we mentioned it earlier in the show, but he spoke with Mass Live following Craig Breslow's interview with us, sort of trying to minimize expectations about the deadline, saying that you require a trade partner. And that, you know, we don't want to say things that don't come to fruition.
Is he tamping down the expectations? I thought Craig Breslow yesterday was the best that he's ever been on this show. Like, he was open and said they're going to add, and said, so he's put himself in a position where if they don't do something that is somewhat significant, then he's out there and on the record saying that they need to add to this team. So I was happy to hear that yesterday from Craig Breslow.
I also thought it was very honest of him to say that the reason that a deal didn't get done between Cora and the Red Sox before the season and now was the fact that they both needed to feel each other out and see if they liked each other, if they liked working with each other. I don't think a lot of people would admit to that. I think that they try to paint a picture, teams try to paint a picture that everybody's, you know, best friends off the bat. And that's a real working relationship that you have to work on and make sure that it's good for the long term. 3 years is a long time for the two of them. So I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah. Well, 401 texter from Rhode Island on the Subaru of New England text line, which is 37937. Find your authorized Subaru retailer at SubaruofNewEngland.com, was surprised yesterday hearing Craig Breslow on this show say that he was going to be a buyer because he didn't expect that.
In this economy?
Right, in this economy. So,
But I also think it's interesting, Courtney, a great point, is that, what was it, 3 weeks ago where Breslow was on, and I was just looking for him to say that Cora was like a good manager, and he wouldn't even, remember? He didn't say it.
And you made a point after to say, why wouldn't you just say, of course we want him here, like, he's the best, we love him, you know, I hope it works out.
So
the fact that he didn't is telling that it took them a long time probably to get on the same page.
And I think what you said yesterday is accurate, almost as good as my premonition about you having a good lead, was that this does mean he's been given some assurances that there's going to be investment into the product, because the timing would suggest that Cora believes fully that this organization is going to do the right thing. The team wanted to get him locked up. They could have done this a month ago or a month from now. I really believe that he's been told that they're going to be adding to this team at this time, and that's why he signed.
Well, if you don't add and you're John Henry, you're just dumb at this point for pure business reasons. Like, the Patriots are in flux.
Totally.
So you have an opportunity to seize the attention of the region this fall.
And even,
so, and you're close.
And even the Celtics and Bruins, both very good teams, Celtics reigning champions, like outside of the opener when they raised the banner at the Garden, like the fall is wide open because the regular seasons for those two teams is relatively irrelevant.
Well, also the Celtics don't, that when they raise that banner, game one is like October 17th or whatever. Yeah. You're already World Series, in the World Series. So it's a giant opportunity, and they're just dumb if they worry about, unless you have to part with, I mean, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. I guess you have to think about it if you have to part with a top five prospect in your mind. I mean, Marcelo Mayer is now
top 10.
Some are calling him the second best prospect in Major League Baseball. So, you obviously don't want to do that when it comes to your future, but
looking at the Red Sox championship teams, 2004, they traded prospects for Pedro. They traded prospects for Curt Schilling. The 2007 team, they traded Hanley Ramirez for Josh Beckett and Mike Lowell. You go up and down their championship teams, they have utilized top prospects to bring in talented players that help them win championships. And at no point did anybody go, ooh, should we really have gotten rid of Hanley Ramirez? Chris Sale closed out Game 5 of the 2018 World Series. You traded Kopech and Yoan Moncada for Chris Sale. Does anybody go, we shouldn't have traded those two guys, who I'm sure were top 10 prospects at the time. You know what I mean? Like, I just, the Red Sox this weekend, let's say they win 2 of 3. They win Sunday night to win the series. We head in Monday morning and they make a big deal bringing in, you know, bringing back Eovaldi and bringing in, you know, whomever else.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why Game Dog 888 in the Twitch chat says this every time we're talking about this. Game Dog says, add what, Greg? Add who? We talked about adding Jameson Taillon from the Cubs. Add a pitcher. Is that good enough for you, Game Dog? I'm not the one. Unfortunately, I'm not the one doing the deal.
True.
Craig Breslow is.
A guy that sits every day ripping everything about this show without any concrete ideas about how to fix it.
What's the point of me telling Craig Breslow who to add, you donkey?
Who do you want, Game Dog?
Listen, if Craig Breslow has a great relationship with Jameson Taillon, then hopefully he gets him.
Mm-hmm.
Did anybody sit here saying they need to bring in Kyle Schwarber?
No,
we mocked the move. It ended up being a great trade. Just because we didn't say they should have traded for Kyle Schwarber doesn't negate the fact that it ended up being a great trade deadline acquisition. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not that hard to figure out.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know who's available. I'm not privy to these conversations. But this weekend, Greg, what if the Yankees acquire Taillon? and you don't while they're in Fenway Park, I mean, there's going to be an opportunity to second guess. You're going to see what guys go for. You're going to be able to compare it to an equivalent prospect in the Red Sox system. And I think the vast majority of Sox fans, maybe outside of Mayer, would sit back and celebrate a team bringing in talent for a prospect.
And it would only be good for John Henry. You're the city's losing the owner that everybody loves. People are falling off the Robert Kraft bandwagon. The Jacobs have always been under scrutiny.
Right.
The fact that you're John Henry and a lot of people have been asking for you to do something for a few years now, to do something right now, right after getting Alex Cora locked up for 3 years, win some people back. Like, what's there to lose?
No, and
I mean, the road trip performance post All-Star break is a little bit alarming, but I think that you can, you know, maybe blame that on, you know, bullpen injuries and just the general, you know, lack of focus around the All-Star break, which seems to happen to this team, or at least has happened to this team the last 3 out of 4 years.
And I think they go they win 2 out of 3 in Colorado if Kenley Jansen is there for that extra innings loss. They had the Saturday night game in LA. It's not like they got boat raced like they did yesterday in every one of these games. They were competitive with the Dodgers in a close series, and, you know, the things fell apart yesterday in Colorado, but they're rested. They're home. They should take 2 or 3 this weekend. The Yankees have been struggling, and then that gives you a little bit of momentum going into the deadline.
Yeah. Well, 7:10 first pitch tonight, and it is Sox-Yankees baseball coverage here on WEEI. It is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. This is David from Florida. Hey, David.
Good morning.
What's up?
I'm trying to get you off speaker. There we go. First of all, you guys are absolutely right, Chris, about prospects. It's all they are is commodities. There are, as we all know, there are no guarantees. And, I mean, of course, you're not going to unload every single one of them, but you use them as commodities to get. You need a balance in any sport, in any business. You need balance. This team has no veterans to hold them together, and that's the difference with that. So it's just ridiculous. Bring back Dombrowski, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I mean, honestly, you can't. I mean, listen, if Craig Breslow,
what's his first name?
Craig Breslow, says what he said yesterday on the show, and then is unable to get a deal done. unable to get a deal done, then I'll have an issue with it Monday morning, or I'll have an issue with it Wednesday morning. But at this point, you got to give the guy credit. I mean, he brought Andrew Bailey.
I don't give him any credit.
Oh, come on. Why not?
He's done nothing yet. He sounds like a sycophant. He's done nothing yet. I mean, I give him, I don't like the way he talks. I don't like the way he presents himself. He's done nothing yet.
I mean, they were able to lock up Cora, which is...
Yeah, you sound like a hater. Like,
all right, you're right.
They lock Cora up. They got Andrew Bailey in here. You got guys that are pitching that you may not have... I don't know. Did you expect the season that you were going to get from Tanner?
I think they should have already made a trade. I mean, who says you have to wait to the deadline to make a deal? They should have already made a deal.
The rest of the marketplace does. Yeah. And I would also say this, David, that if you told me... After the injuries, right during camp, how many pitchers went down when they started the season? From Giolito up and down the line. Tristan Casas missing 2 months.
Yep.
That you'd be 7 games over .500 at this stage of the season? I would have signed up for that in a heartbeat. Who wouldn't? We'll rip the guy. We have, if they don't do anything. But I don't know how today you're sitting there miserable about him.
His performance is different from his the way in which he sounds in an interview. He may have some nerd tendencies. Doesn't make him a bad person, Chime.
Right. Nope, nerds are great.
He has been able to determine.
Chime just hates fat people.
Now that the analytical information is in, he's been able to determine that the Foo Fighters are one of his three favorite bands. It took him a while on that, but he got there.
Hey, we'll get a band a month. And I also would like to say he's never had a front-facing job like this. He went from the Cubs being one of the backroom number crunchers to being the face of the Red Sox baseball operation. Kind of a big step.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if it's taken him a couple months to get used to it, I don't think he intentionally is obtuse with us. I think he's very, as you could hear, I mean, Sam Kennedy listens and he's correcting the record after he comes on. Yeah, he works measured, for Sam Kennedy because he doesn't want to be saying things that they can't back up.
Yeah, he's measured in what he says, which, you know, it's just the way he says it sometimes. Right.
I mean, Yale people just happen to sound that way. I mean, God love them.
All right. Well, anyway, it is a very important weekend for the Boston Red Sox and for Craig Breslow. And you can talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original WEEI.
And now, another episode of Douche Move.
Ha, what a douche.
Okay, Curtis, you're looking for a douche move ruling this morning?
That is a really great open. Mm-hmm. I don't, it's very short. Okay, when is it too early in a condo building to vacuum?
Ooh.
In my mind, it's never, it's your, you own the place, you moved into a condo, you know that people are going to be doing things. Somebody might work overnights. I don't think it's any, at any point, it's, what do you want them to like clear with you when they're going to do their housework?
I think 4 a.m. is a touch early.
I have vacuuming. 4 a.m.? So when did this occur yesterday?
This morning
at 4 a.m.?
In the hallway or the other unit in the other condo?
Upstairs, okay. my neighbors.
Yeah, you don't have any say. Sorry. They own too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, right. Yeah. Everybody owns in the building.
Yeah. Not every place.
When is it too early for your son to be making a ruckus?
He doesn't. James is a quiet man. He may play the drums at certain times.
Okay. But so he's playing the drums, and that do you clear that with your neighbors?
4 a.m. There should be quiet hours.
No. I thought at first you were talking about maybe somebody who cleans the hallway or something.
No.
That should definitely be a time and place. But the fact that it's somebody else's unit that they own.
I don't know. In the Twitch chat, Ken Voland says 4 a.m. douche move.
Yeah, but like when if you work the graveyard shift, you
but
come home.
But they don't work the graveyard. Right. They don't work the graveyard shift.
I'm just saying, you know, maybe they did that time.
They don't.
Switch
and
shifts.
Texter says buy a freaking house.
Okay, listen to a different show. I would say it is obscene to vacuum at 4 in the morning.
Mm.
There was like some huge glass, but I would have heard the broken glass.
But they know you're up that hour.
Right. Okay, but
there are people in suburbia.
And it also wasn't like a quick. This was like a 15-minute vacuum.
Yeah.
I understand if something falls and you have kids and they have kids, if you just vacuum right there. But for 15 minutes at 4 in the morning, it's a little much.
There are people in suburbia who get bothered by those who mow their lawns early. Like, we're in lawn mowing season.
Right.
And some guys, some women go out and they mow their lawn at 7 a.m. on a Saturday, and people get pissed off about that. But it's your castle.
But 7 a.m., like, the sun's out. It's in the middle of the night.
Shampooed the carpet at 2 a.m.
What in the world?
Yep.
In this economy?
Yes.
What did you spill some sort of a sauce or something?
No, you have a dog, so you want to shampoo the carpet every once in a while and make sure it smells good and so that your house doesn't smell like animals. You know.
I mean, but how does that impact anybody else if you shampoo something?
Well, I live in a townhouse. Well, it sounds like a vacuum. It's loud.
Oh, I didn't know.
Is it every day or is it?
No,
just
this was just
a
one-off.
One-off.
I thought I was dreaming.
Yeah.
And then I took Pudge out, and I'm like, no, that's a vacuum.
I think that maybe they just figured, well, Curtis is up at this hour, so it's really no different.
They're just thinking it's my condo. Well, I live in a building in which everybody knew that there was going to be noises. I mean,
okay, great. If somebody woke you up with a vacuum at 3 in the morning, you would not be a happy camper.
I hear all kinds of noises all the time. I don't worry about it. Your snore sounds like a vacuum. Can they not do their dishes at night? Is that a problem
that
for you?
That doesn't impact me at all if you do your dishes. In what way would that impact my life?
Jerry from Framingham. What's up, Jerry?
Does anybody else think this sounds vaguely familiar? Haven't we heard this between the people of Brookline and Newton about leaf blowers?
Yes. Yes.
Well, that spreads droplets, Jerry. I mean, that is very contagious.
It's like the leaf blower thing. It's like
the pickleball sound.
Yeah, it's like you're right.
Yeah.
Like the pit, by the way.
I'm going to do a 311 complaint right now about this.
Yeah, it's like pickleball guy.
It's a piercing sound.
It's pop, 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 pop. I wear headphones sometimes when I'm outside. I can't sit on the deck. I haven't sat on the deck in 2 years.
We don't have time for it right now, but later in the show, there's a whole new controversy. One of the local news stations is propagating about the pickleball noise. Oh. Like, pickleball is played outside in the summertime, as is tennis, yep. as is softball, yep. as is
I don't understand the pickleball thing. I think, like, I'm being punked. There is a court right by the hockey rink in Farragut in South Boston, right by Pleasure Bay.
Yep.
I walk past it every day. They're playing pickleball. I don't know what I'm missing. It's not crazy. It doesn't sound like gunshots in any capacity.
It really doesn't. It's kind of a nice sound.
Right. It's a soothing sound. It's not like a vacuum.
Pickleball is the future.
At Echelon, I hear planes flying overhead. We're right in the traffic pattern of Logan.
Yes.
I knew that when I moved in.
Exactly.
Pop, right to assert that that's some kind of a douche move because a plane is flying at 5 a.m.?
No. It's like the Chestnut Hill residents that move in and they're aghast that six Saturdays a year there's a football game.
Ping, 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 ping.
Exactly. Are we, speaking of that, is Bill O'Brien joining the show regularly this football season?
I believe so. And I ran into, Pete Thamel, I think we had him on the show once. He's the national ESPN college football reporter. They're number one. They're Woj of college football.
Yeah.
He lives in South Boston as a young child around James's age. And we were talking and he was like, I got a feature coming out in August. You are going to absolutely love Bill O'Brien.
He was great that when we had him on the show.
Yeah. Awesome.
A month ago or whatever. He
knew my name. I'm a nobody.
Great. I didn't
know. Do you think
that,
somebody
Shana.
Told him before he joined the show?
I don't know. Jackson doesn't normally tell him that. That's what I'm saying.
You are a completely different
me and Bill line. O'Brien, best friends.
Hopefully, what did he do? Call you Shime?
Yeah. Right. Knew my name.
Somebody was probably sitting next to him telling him that Shime was on the show.
Right. And
I rarely ever ask any questions.
We got this guy in the portal, Gerond Bradley. He says is going to be one of the most electric wide receivers in all of college football this year.
Oh, I love it.
So,
Did you see the photo of O'Brien with the players that they brought to ACC Media Day?
No.
Mitch, I sent it to him for the Twitch and YouTube. I'm telling you, looking at that photo sent a chill down my spine. This team is going to be great.
Oh, get out of
great.
Here.
Great. Bill O'Brien. This photo goes hard.
Oh, yeah.
Bill O'Brien looks like an absolute monster in this.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, Bill O'Brien. Oh, there he is. Holy cow. I mean, I feel like we might win the national championship.
Yep. Me too.
Another thing Pete told me is that offensive line stacked with NFL caliber players. Three guys that could go in the top three rounds of the draft this year with BC. If O-line U is back, BC football, it's going to be a thing again.
Get on board, Greg.
Yeah. Jump on now.
Okay. I'm going to jump on board.
Because we're going to be vacuuming soon.
All right. Well, anyway, we will have the opportunity, I believe, to talk to Bill O'Brien every week on this show during college football season, which is right around the corner.
Big fun wasn't hurting anyone, and we all enjoyed the weekend for a change. I was stranded in the combat zone. I walked to Bedford style alone, even rode my motorcycle in the rain. And you told me not to drive, but I made it home alive. So you said that only proves that I'm insane. You may be right, I may be crazy, but it just may be a lunatic you're looking for. Turn out the lights, don't try to save me.
By the way, Shine, Billy Joel's 10-year residency at Madison Square Garden ended with the last show last night. So he's been doing that for 10 years straight, however many shows he does every single year at Madison Square Garden.
The world's most famous arena.
Yes, Curtis, absolutely. Speaking as we were of Boston College, heads up for next week, Matt Ryan will join us Thursday at 8:20. And so we'll talk this NFL season with Matty Ice on Thursday's show. And I think Alex Smith is going to join us on Monday. Is that correct?
Yeah, tentatively scheduled Monday, 9 a.m.
Okay.
Just waiting to confirm everything.
Excellent.
And a quick note, it'll be interesting because those years were referred to as the Curtis years. Matt Ryan and I were on campus at the same time.
Oh, really? Oh,
and
I
so
see.
I'm interested to see if he's been okay with that, given that we were such huge stars simultaneously on the campus.
Yes, I remember, if I remember correctly, he would frequently knock your books out of your hands.
He would. One of the rare guys that actually went to class
when he encountered you on campus. You brought up the Bill O'Brien picture with his guys. Also, credit to Jason Tatum for the Sports Illustrated cover, which I believe if you're watching this show on Twitch or YouTube, then Mitch, the man in black, as I refer to our vice president of Twitch services, Twitch Mitch, has that for you. And good on Jason Tatum.
Very great Gatsby-esque.
Yeah.
And
somebody's missing from the MVP of the finals.
Oh, it's funny you bring that up because I don't know if you saw what he said to Chris Mannix from Sports Illustrated, but his biggest regret with his time with the Celtics right now is how he handled the Jaylen Brown situation when trade talks were happening. Mm. And his name kept being brought up.
I have
the quotes.
Yeah.
He said, "I've always told him that maybe I could have done a better job of voicing my feelings in the public eye. He always knew I wanted him here. I would always tell him, like, man, I don't get involved with any of those talks. I never went to Brad or went to any players like, yo, I want this guy in. I want this guy out of here. I show up and I want to do my job and play basketball. And looking back on in those moments, I didn't know how that could affect somebody because I was never in that situation. I feel like maybe I could have done a better job of publicly saying, no, we don't want anyone. We want JB. I just was always like, I want to stay out of it."
So interesting that he hasn't learned his lesson, given what's been going on this summer, and Tatum hasn't said a peep.
Yeah, but don't you think he?
No,
said this though. So in my mind, this is kind of covering everything. Where he's saying, "I don't want to be in those talks. I just want to play basketball. That's always what I want to do. So I stay out of it."
But he says he wishes he hadn't. In hindsight,
he hadn't when it comes to trade talks,
right?
But I think this. Him saying this now, I think covers both.
Well, I mean, we don't know if this was an interview done right now. It could have been done right at the end of the season, candidly.
I don't think Chris Mannix comes out with it. I think if he said this right after the season, Chris Mannix comes out with it immediately.
But it's a specific issue. I mean, I'm not saying that you're right. I don't know. But either way, I feel like Jaylen Brown sees him on the cover and he's not talking at all about do you think Jaylen Brown feels like it's an omission?
So wait, you think Jaylen Brown thinks he should have been on the cover of Sports Illustrated?
Well, I think Jaylen Brown feels like Jason Tatum is in cahoots with Nike. He blames Nike for not being on the Olympic team. I don't think that that's what are you laughing at? How is that crazy?
No, I mean, I understand it. I mean, I think there can be a rivalry there without it being an angry rivalry. Like, it can be a positive rivalry between the two of them.
They want to they make each other better through that rivalry. I also just think we're going to look at everything these two do, and there are certain people, Curtis being one of them, that I think wants to see there be some type of issue between the two.
Well, you said that the season settled it, and then a week later you were like, uh-oh, it's not been settled.
What?
You said that the championship settled any debate, that they're friends, I don't want to hear this.
Right.
And then we had the emojis, and you did a great job, and you said, you know.
No, I didn't say that this proved anything. I say him doing this is going to make people talk about it again.
No, I'm
so
saying,
I don't think there's been an issue with Jaylen and Jason, and I don't
think
there's
one now. He's describing that there was one.
No, he's saying that he should have done a better job speaking out behind closed doors. He was saying to Jaylen, "I want you here."
Right, and I'm sure that was
so
something.
So that means that there's not an issue.
It's kind of like.
No, I want you to finish because.
Okay, this clearly was something that was an issue behind the scenes because he says in hindsight, he should have done more publicly to do what he was doing behind the scenes so that Jaylen wasn't on his own when it came to the trade rumors.
Yeah, publicly, but behind closed doors, they were having these conversations. I can feel a certain way about something I've done in the past that in regards to you, even if you and I don't have an issue, I can look back on something that I did or didn't do and say, man, I wish I handled that differently.
Yes.
Without it being an issue between two people.
Right. And I think the relationship that they have had has been constantly evolving. They're two guys. Jaylen Brown, we can go through all the quotes that he's had. We've already relitigated this 20 times. They are very different people.
Mm-hmm.
They are both players that would be the number one star in at least half the teams in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And everything they do is under a microscope because they are so different in how they conduct themselves. Nobody says they hate each other, but to say that there have been no issues, I agreed with Cordy. I thought the championship was going to go a long way in smoothing over whatever issues may have come up. But it feels like this offseason has done nothing but light a fire to those issues.
Yeah. To put it in terms that you might understand, it's like when a certain person was shipped out of here and they wanted you to stand up for them.
Dale here.
Okay. That's what it's
that could have gone in many directions.
That's what that is. All right. Well, anyway, congrats to Jason Tatum.
Yes, and Jaylen Brown.
And Jaylen Brown. We will be right back.
Big fun wasn't hurt.
Shine, Billy Joel's 10-year residency at Madison Square Garden ended with the last show last night. So he's been doing that for 10 years straight, however many shows he does every single year at Madison Square Garden.
The world's most famous arena.
Yes, Curtis, absolutely. Speaking as we were of Boston College, heads up for next week, Matt Ryan will join us Thursday at 8:20. And so we'll talk this NFL season with Matty Ice on Thursday's show. And I think Alex Smith is going to join us on Monday. Is that correct?
Yeah, tentatively scheduled Monday, 9 a.m.
Okay.
Just waiting to confirm everything.
Excellent.
And a quick note, it'll be interesting because those years were referred to as the Curtis years. Matt Ryan and I were on campus at the same time.
Oh, really? Oh,
and
I
so
see.
I'm interested to see if he's been okay with that, given that we were such huge stars simultaneously on the campus.
Yes, I remember, if I remember correctly, he would frequently knock your books out of your hands.
He would. One of the rare guys that actually went to class.
When he encountered you on campus. You brought up the Bill O'Brien picture with his guys. Also, credit to Jason Tatum for the Sports Illustrated cover, which I believe if you're watching this show on Twitch or YouTube, then Mitch, the man in black, as I refer to our vice president of Twitch services, Twitch Mitch, has that for you. And good on Jason Tatum.
Very great Gatsby-esque.
Yeah.
And
somebody's missing from the MVP of the finals.
Oh, it's funny you bring that up because I don't know if you saw what he said to Chris Mannix from Sports Illustrated, but his biggest regret with his time with the Celtics right now is how he handled the Jaylen Brown situation when trade talks were happening. Mm. And his name kept being brought up.
I have
the quotes.
He
said, I've always told him that maybe I could have done a better job of voicing my feelings in the public eye. He always knew I wanted him here. I would always tell him, like, man, I don't get involved with any of those talks. I never went to Brad or went to any players like, yo, I want this guy in, I want this guy out of here. I show up and I want to do my job and play basketball. And looking back on in those moments, I didn't know how that could affect somebody because I was never in that situation. I feel like maybe I could have done a better job of publicly saying, no, we don't want anyone. We want JB. I just was always like, I want to stay out of it.
So interesting that he hasn't learned his lesson, given what's been going on this summer, and Tatum hasn't said a peep.
Yeah, but don't you think he?
No,
just,
I mean
he just
I mean,
said this though. So in my mind, this is kind of covering everything. Where he's saying, I don't want to be in those talks. I just want to be play basketball. That's always what I want to do. So I stay out of it.
But he says he wishes he hadn't. In hindsight,
he hadn't when it comes to trade talks.
Right.
But I think this. I think this. Him saying this now. I think covers both.
Well, I mean, we don't know if this was an interview done right now. It could have been done right at the end of the season, candidly.
I don't think Chris Mannix comes out with it. I think if he said this right after the season, Chris Mannix comes out with it immediately.
But it's a specific issue. I mean, I'm not saying that you're right. I don't know. But either way, I feel like Jaylen Brown sees him on the cover, and he's not talking at all about what is. Do you think Jaylen Brown feels like it's an omission?
So wait, you think Jaylen Brown thinks he should have been on the cover of Sports Illustrated?
Well, I think Jaylen Brown feels like Jason Tatum is in cahoots with Nike. He blames Nike for not being on the Olympic team. I don't think that that's a. What are you laughing at? Is that how is that crazy?
No, I mean I understand that. I mean I think there can be a rivalry there, without it being an angry rivalry. Like it can be a, you know, a positive rivalry between the two of them.
They want to make they make each other better.
Yeah.
Through that rivalry. I also just think it's we're going to look at everything these two do, and there are certain people, Curtis being one of them, that I think wants to see there be some type of issue between the two.
Well, you said that the season settled it, and then a week later you were like, "Uh-oh, it's not been settled."
What?
You said that the championship settled any debate, that they were they're friends. I don't want to hear this.
Right.
And then we had the emojis, and you did a great job, and you said, you know.
No, I didn't say that this proved anything. I say him doing this is going to make people talk about it again.
No, I'm
so
saying,
I don't think there's been an issue with Jaylen and Jason, and I don't
think
there's
one now. But he's describing that there was one.
No, he's saying that he should have done a better job speaking out behind closed doors. He was saying to Jaylen, I want you here.
Right, and he's. Yeah. I'm sure that that was
so
something.
So that means that there's not an issue.
You.
It's kind of like.
No, I want you to finish because.
Okay, this clearly was something that was an issue behind the scenes because he says in hindsight, he should have done more publicly to do what he was doing behind the scenes so that Jaylen wasn't on his own when it came to the trade rumors.
Yeah, publicly, but behind closed doors, they were having these conversations. I can feel a certain way about something I've done in the past that in regards to you, even if you and I don't have an issue. I can look back on something that I did or didn't do and say, man, I wish I handled that differently.
Yes.
Without it being an issue between two people.
Right. And I think the relationship that they have had has been constantly evolving. They're two guys. Jaylen Brown, we can go through all the quotes that he's had. We've already relitigated this 20 times. They are very different people.
Mm-hmm.
They are both players that would be the number one star in at least half the teams in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And everything they do is under a microscope because they are so different in how they conduct themselves. Nobody says they hate each other, but to say that there have been no issues, I agreed with Cordy. I thought the championship was going to go a long way in smoothing over whatever issues may have come up. But it feels like this offseason has done nothing but light a fire to those issues.
Yeah. To put it in terms that you might understand, it's like when a certain person was shipped out of here and they wanted you to stand up for them.
Dale here.
Okay. That's what
that could have gone in many directions.
That's what that is. All right. Well, anyway, congrats to Jason Tatum.
Yes, and Jaylen Brown.
And Jaylen Brown. We will be right back.